Hello, and welcome to Networking Unleashed, Building Profitable Connections. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm your host, Michael Foreman, and you're listening to the podcast where networking is more than just awkward handshakes and bad coffee. It's an art and a talent. But here's the twist: it's an art and talent you can actually learn. Yes, even if you're the person hiding in the corner at every event pretending to check your emails. Networking isn't just a nice skill to have, it's a game changer. When you get good at it, you'll wonder why you didn't start sooner. More connections, more opportunities, more profits. It's like unlocking a cheat code for life. So whether you're the life of the party or the just let me stay at home and text type, we've got something for you, so stick around. Let's turn those awkward small talk moments into big wins. I have an amazing guest today. She has done so much for the consulting field, but let me introduce Dr. Lachelle Weamy. Did I get that correct?
You
Okay.
did.
All right, that's not bad. Starting out on the right foot. Dr. Weamy is passionate about helping people unlock their full potential. For over 15 years, she has been connecting with audiences as a motivational speaker. And for the past 6 years, she has also been guiding individuals and organizations through her coaching business and consulting practice. And before I butcher it even more, let me turn it over to Dr. Weamy and let me just introduce her because you'll get so much out of it. Doctor, will you please take me off this and help me stop rambling
Goodness,
on?
you're doing such a great job. I just got to say, I'm so excited to be here. I feel like when we are able to find better ways to connect, we can create this beautiful life of abundance. And let's just be real, Michael, money comes from people. And if we're not connecting with people, then how are we ever going to have the impact and the abundance and the ways to give back if we don't make ourselves learn the skill of relating to and communicating with other people? And so I'm going to give you guys a little bit of background because never in a million years, 20 years ago, would I have ever thought that I'd be sitting having these conversations because I was 1000% the awkward girl in the corner comparing myself to everybody else. I hated to show up at that kind of stuff. And here I am putting myself out there because I believe so much in what it is that I do. And so, a little background about me, I actually have my formal education in anesthesia. I went to college for nursing, then I went on to get my nurse anesthesia degree, and then on to my doctorate, and was literally doing all the things that I thought I was supposed to do. We should on ourselves every once in a while, right? And I was doing all the things, chasing the degrees, chasing all of the titles, became a professor, doing all this stuff in order to really, honestly, if I had to get vulnerable with you, prove my worth to myself because I was the shy kid. I was the one who was trying to eventually try to make myself good enough. And I felt like the more that I did in the professional world, the more I was going to get there. And what happened to me was honestly divine intervention. I was introduced to an opportunity that I could start my own online business in 2016. It was something that I wasn't even on my radar. And I leaned in with curiosity and it completely changed my life because I started to recognize that there was something out there that I could do that allowed me to be challenged and fulfilled and make a difference and be the more present mom and wife. And in that space, as you guys know, anytime you put yourself into sales or entrepreneurship, you have to recognize that it's literally a personal development with a paycheck, right? And so I had to start looking inward, which is how I discovered that whole degree chasing situation was really just me trying to be good enough. And I started to really hone in on ways that I could get better so that I could serve people, so I could serve my family and love helping other people do the same. And I know that when we were chatting before we started to interview, you told me a little bit about these amazing people that you serve. And I'm guessing that a lot of the people that are listening, the realtors out there, the mortgage people that are out there, this might be a second career for you. You might have started out as a teacher, like a lot of people, and you're like, this isn't for me. I need to do something different. A lot of my realtor clients were previous professionals and other things before. And I think that when we get ourselves into these spaces, it's what the heck am I doing here? And how am I supposed to introduce myself? And how am I supposed to make these connections? And how is this supposed to work? And I think that the reason that I'm so passionate about what I am doing and how I do it is because I've been there and I had to figure it out myself. And really, my passion is to help people, solopreneurs, service-based people, really manifest consistent five-figure months without overthinking and without burning out. And I got to tell you, Michael, that the communication and the meeting the people, the who, not how, is a huge part of making that happen. And what I love to do is I like to find ways that we are creating resistance to that flow that can help us get there. The buts, I call them. We all have big buts, and I cannot lie, right? It's the things that we create these excuses around ourselves of why we can't make that happen or what we have going on inside of ourselves that are creating this resistance and these roadblocks and these buts, and help you to recognize them and be able to bust through them so that you can get to where you want to go faster.
It's amazing because I can literally feel your passion come right through the camera. You're so passionate about what you do, and that's great because I too am passionate about networking and communication itself. So I feel your passion, and that's a wonderful thing. How did you first discover the power of networking in your career?
I think that I literally was just really coachable. So when I started my journey as an entrepreneur, all of this was so different. You guys, I have to remind you that I had a career in anesthesia. If you've ever had any experience in surgery, you know that anesthesia is like pay no attention to being to the man behind the drape. There's like the surgery, and then there's a surgical drape, and then anesthesia is in the background, like paying attention to all of the monitors and stuff. And so I literally could spend an entire 8-hour shift not talking to anybody. And I was not used to this stuff. So I remember going to my very first networking event that was told about to me by my financial advisor. He's, "Hey, Lachelle, I'm doing this. This might actually help your side business. If you want to join me, you're welcome to." And I was just in, I was introduced and I was exposed, and I was like, "This is interesting. These people really have some experience in business. I could really learn something from people." But gosh, Michael, like, I didn't have the confidence myself. I didn't know how to introduce myself and do my elevator speech. I didn't know if I even belonged at that table. I felt awkward. Here I was. This was just my side hustle at the time. And I felt, gosh, what am I doing here? But I made myself show up anyway. And I remember just learning by listening and having people model for me and signing up for my showcase and introducing myself and being so nervous that I had memorized the entire thing a couple of days before because I didn't want to mess it up. And now I can just, yesterday I got home and I had to do an impromptu to talk to somebody in California on quantum physics, and I just winged it because it's just what I do now. But at the time, that was so terrifying to me. But I started to recognize like how powerful referrals are, how powerful just learning from people who are already successful in business and what they're doing and how they could help me just by watching them and asking them questions. And it is, was a game changer for me, honestly.
That's fantastic. And you learned practice. Networking is a skill, and as every other skill, you have to practice. And it's so important. And you get better and more comfortable. And you think that, okay, that's all right. I've learned enough. And you're like, no, you have to practice more. You have to get more comfortable so you can expand what you talk about. So that's very good, very point. What's the most common misconception people have about networking?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I believe that is that they think that there are them and then there's me. They're the people, we all know them, the gregarious life of the party. They show up and everybody's listening, and they just seem like they have all their stuff together and they seem like all their words come out perfectly. And then there's ourselves who we think we are in our minds. They're like, oh my gosh, that's not me, right? I am a self-proclaimed introvert. And if you were to be more accurate, it's probably I'm an extroverted introvert because people are very surprised that I'm an introvert because I come across as somebody that's very easily articulating what I have to say and all the things. But the reality is that I had to learn that skill. It's possible to learn it. And I had to acknowledge the fact that there is not just a them and a me. There's a me who gets to start from where I am with what I have. And I get to learn those skills, and that comes through practice, just like you said, right? And so oftentimes people say, "Lachelle, I'm just not that good with people. I'm not that good with words." And I tell you that if you are an introvert, You actually have a leg up. And can I tell you why, Michael? Why that's
Sure,
such an important.
absolutely.
As an introvert, you guys, we are not the life of the party, but we are really freaking good listeners. And when I was able to show up and I just came with some very basic questions, and then I just shut up and listened. And I allowed the other person to tell me about them. And guess what? They felt heard, they felt seen, they felt a connection with me because they felt like somebody was actually paying attention to them and giving them their 100 undivided attention. And they made a connection with me that made them want to continue to get to know me. I didn't have to come with all the fancy words. I didn't have to come with all of the expertise. I had to come with a few questions and just really good listening and making sure that whenever I'm in front of somebody, I am giving them one my 100% undivided attention so that they feel seen and heard. And friend, when you are somebody who thinks that if you're not extroverted, then you don't have the leg up. I'm just going to tell you that oftentimes extroverted people actually don't realize that they're hurting themselves because they don't stop talking. They are the ones who have to tell everybody everything. They're the ones who find themselves interrupting because it's just part of habit. And the introverts are the ones that are sitting back and they're taking it in and they're being thoughtful and they're. So I hear you're saying this. And I got to tell you guys, you're going to get further on these one-on-one conversations because you're listening and you're genuinely interested, and people are going to start to notice that. So stop thinking that you're not cut out for it because you are. You actually have a superpower.
You hit on so many points of basic networking skills that I can't even go over it. But what you're saying is so, it's so good and so correct that because listening is so much more powerful than talking. Okay, that's first and foremost. But my next question, you pretty much answered it just now. Okay, so I'm going to ask you anyway. Can you give me three tips for effective networking at events or conferences?
Yeah, so I will tell you that my secret sauce, everything that I do in my company is this intersection between quantum physics, brain science, and scripture. And I do that in order to get people fast results that is more ease and flow. Okay. Part of the intersection of brain science and quantum physics is this law of assumption. It's the acting as if it's already here even before you see evidence of it. And so what this means is when you're going into this networking event, we've already talked about one of my tips, which is just being a really active listener. You would let the other person feel like they're the most important person in the world, and they will 100% not forget you, okay? With that aside, what I want you guys to do is I want you to show up and I want you to act as if you were already the person that is 5 years down the road that has already accomplished everything that you set out to do. It is not what we do, friend. It is who we are while we do it. It's the posture in which we show up. So even before I knew what the hell I was doing, I had to pretend in my mind that I did. And I know that we say fake it till you make it and blah, blah, blah. We can make all of these like cliches. But in the world of quantum physics and brain science, you get to step into this person, this future version of yourself, and you carry yourself in that way, you articulate yourself in that way, and you might get to the car and you're like, holy crap, I hope that went okay. Or you might be giving yourself a little pep talk with affirmations before you walk in the door. Nobody needs to know that you're paddling like heck underneath the water. But when you show up, I want you to say to yourself, I am supposed to be here. I belong here. People need what I have to give. And I can't wait to serve people because I'm here and I am showing up. And when you can allow yourself to step into that person, when you can allow yourself to pretend like you are the confidence person, you will start to show up energetically that way, and you will start to speak that way, and you will start to believe it eventually because our brain has things called mirror neurons. And our mirror neurons cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is imagined. That's why if I imagine that I'm jumping out of a plane right now, my heart's going to beat a little bit faster and my palms are going to get sweaty, right? My brain cannot tell the difference between what is actually happening and what's going on in my imagination. So if you can imagine that you are already that person, And you can imagine as if you are an actor in a play, and you get to think about what would she say? How would she carry herself? How would she introduce herself? And you imagine that you are stepping on this stage for this event, and you are going to play the role of a lifetime. How would that be? And then this is the thing, your brain will, over time with practice, start to associate yourself with that person. Now, here's the cool part, Michael, is that this can go way beyond you interacting with people in networking events, because when you start to show up in this way, you're going to start to show up in that way for everything. You're going to be that person in the morning when your alarm goes off. Instead of hitting snooze like you have for the last 5 years, you're going to get up and you're going to do your affirmations and you're going to do your meditation. You're going to pick up the sales call and you're going to be confident instead of saying, oh, I'm going to call them tomorrow. Like that person's on my chicken list. Like I'm not going to do it. You're going to start to behave like her or him even before you're ready. And guess what's going to happen? Those behaviors are going to create the results that are going to align with that life. And if it means that networking and it means communication, it means getting in front of people is going to be the catalyst to help you put into action some of the things that we're talking about today, let that be the catalyst that's going to change your life, because all of a sudden you're going to start to act as if you were already her or him, and things are going to start to fall into place.
That's actually absolutely great. And for that in-person feeling, because you have to pick up the vibe of the person and the
Exactly.
vibe of the room and everything, but if you're doing that one-on-one, that's great. But how has social media affected the way people do networking?
I think that it's made people two things. I think that people will hide behind screens more than we used to. And I would admit to that. It's a lot easier to sit in my yoga pants than it is for me to get all dressed up and go into town, right? But what I've also recognized, Michael, is that people are starved for real relationships. I actually recently started a networking event in my community just in the last couple of months here. And people are just craving real communication. Even though I offer in networking events over Zoom, they gravitate towards the in-person ones because I feel like we are missing out on that stuff. And so there, it's two parts. Sometimes the social media and Zooms and all those things can feed our insecurities and keep us feel safe. But I also think that we have to recognize that there's at some point a way for us to step outside of that. As a global business coach, I have clients from all over the world, right? And that's amazing. And social media is a way for me to make that happen. My podcast is a way for that to happen. My YouTube channel, whatever the case may be, right? That's awesome. But I've also recognized that when I do these high-level luxury in-person retreats around the world, I looked in the room and I'm like, holy crap, like most of these people are local. They're not somebody who just saw me on Instagram. They're somebody who's seen me out and about or has gotten to know me. And so when you realize that the power of your circle in your close proximity cannot be diminished. And so get out of your stinking house. Don't rely. Yes, I've grown a huge business online. That's amazing. But the higher ticket people or the long-term clients that don't go anywhere are local people.
There's a mantra for networking. Know you, like you, trust you, they'll do business with you. Those local people, you've already gained their trust. They know you already. So that part has already been taken care of. So that will just open them up even more to you, and you can take care of business. So that's very good. But just bringing this back a little bit to introverts, okay? Because they have a social anxiety about it. And how would you advise introverts with those social anxieties, what their approach to networking?
No, totally. So again, I'm going to say again, I'm an introvert, guys. So I get you. Every time I'm way better one-on-one than I am walking into a room. And I'm just going to be super vulnerable here with you, Michael. Okay. So I'm still the person, even though I'm speak on stages in front of hundreds of people and thousands of people, I still am nervous when I walk into a room of 20 people, of 5 people, of 50 people. Because in my mind, the old part of my habits come back in and say, oh, gosh, like what if nobody talks to me? What if they all know each other and they and whatever? What if I say something stupid? And then it's Michelle, how many times have you done this? It's been fine. And so, what I wanted to say is that remember that as an introvert friend, you have a superpower. You have a superpower because you are so good at listening and you're so good at making people feel seen and heard. So, knowing that you have the advantage should hopefully give you a little bit of a confidence booster, right? Now, I'm not above saying that it feels a lot nicer when I can ask a business bestie of mine to say, hey, you want to go to this thing with me? It's nice to know that I'm not walking in alone. So who do you know that's also going? Just walk in alone, or so that you're not walking in alone, but then perhaps you force yourself to sit at different tables. Because sometimes as introverts, what we do is we handicap ourselves and we say, okay, good. I know all of these people. I'm going to go sit here. But guess what? Those people aren't going to be the ones that are going to grow your business. The five people over here that you've never met before are going to. And so I'm going to ask you, do what you need to do to get in the door. And then I want you to give yourself a little bit of pep talk saying, okay, who do I get to meet today that is going to change my business? And I think that going back to Michael, networking and doing things as an introvert is really no different than any of us at any state in time that need to do something or want to do something, and we just can't get ourselves to do it. And it comes back to a couple of things that is universal throughout anything. It might be a client of mine saying, I just can't post on social media, or I can't possibly go live, or, oh, I've been wanting to start a podcast, but I can't. I'm too scared. None of those things are really that different because they require us to have to step into something, right? So I would say there's a couple of things that can help. Number one is I want you to think about why the heck are you doing this in the first place? Because if you can make it more about something outside of you than yourself, if you can make the reward bigger than the pain of having to go and do something scary, it's going to get you over that hump, right? Mel Robbins has this great book, 5 Second Rule. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, just do something brave real quick, right? And so there are reasons why I have in my coaching process, I take people through the 7 reasons that we sabotage our success. And you guys aren't alone in this space, okay? The other thing that I would say is I borrowed this from Tony Robbins. There is something called the triad of emotional state. So whenever you are feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't do something or I don't want to do something, try this. There is a triad of 3 things that are going to help you get into action. Because remember that if we allow our emotions to run the show, oftentimes we're going to choose not to do the things that we want to do, right? Motion precedes emotion. Motion precedes emotion. So what I want you to do is I want you to move your body. Physiology is the first thing. So maybe that means that instead of sitting there, maybe you just take a little walk, take a little lap. I've done this all the time when I get up on stage, little thing. If you've ever been, in a conference where I'm speaking, you'll find me in the bathroom a couple minutes before, literally running in place because I have to just get that excess energy out of me and it moves my body and shifts my energy state. So move, okay? The second thing in the triad is focus. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing more on the fact that, oh my gosh, I hate being here? Are you focusing more on the fact that I don't know anybody? Are you focusing more on the fact that I don't know who to talk to or what to say? Or are you focusing on the fact that this is an opportunity for me to meet the next person that I'm supposed to change their life? What are you focusing on? And use your brain to shift this. And then the third part of the triad is language. How are you speaking to yourself? I joke around that I have two voices in my head, and I'm not mentally ill, I promise. But the one voice is, I call her Sharon because she's always sharing her opinion with me, whether I want it or not. So she's the one who's saying, like, why are you even here? Nobody wants what you have. You're awkward anyway. Just go home. And then the other person's, I call her Katie because she's just a cheerleader, right? So she's like, you got this, girl. Just stand a little taller and you got your favorite outfit on that makes you feel confident. You got this. Go do this. So you get to decide the language that's going on in your head and what you're telling yourself. But more importantly, what are you listening to? This is a little, whoa, that was deep. But I hear Sharon and Katie, but who's hearing them? I am not my thoughts. I am the thinker of my thoughts. I'm the observer of my thoughts. And therefore, I get to control that narrative that's going on in there. You are not a victim to that. You are in control of that. So I'm going to ask you, how are you speaking to yourself? And if you can combine those 3 things, it's going to force you into action, which is going to be the biggest part of the momentum that you need.
That's great. That's great. And I was listening so intently because I know of Tony Robbins and the pyramid and the triad. So I'm listening to you and I'm listening and I'm envisioning him when he was talking about it. So it's really crazy. You told me so much about your networking and how you are an introvert, but really an extroverted introvert, and you make all these contacts. How do you structure those contacts? How do you follow up with those contacts? Because I've always felt that the follow-up is probably more important than actually meeting the person. So how do you follow up with everybody?
So I do have a system. I have a CRM, a client relations manager that I put things in and put notes in. I would say just find a system that works for you. Some people do really well with just having a book of business cards. Some people do really well with just a simple spreadsheet. Some people do really well with a formal CRM. Whatever the case may be, let it be a system. I also feel like, Michael, I love to connect people. That is one of my absolute favorite things to do. And if I can, as much as possible, find out what people are needing and who I can connect them with, that speaks volumes to the kind of person that I am and then how I can become a person that somebody else wants in their sphere of influence. Because clients will either be a client or they'll be a connector. And so I love to show them that I'm a connector. So if I have some reason that I think they would be of value to somebody else, I leave a little note. And then when I meet somebody one-on-one, a lot of times what I'll do is at the end of our conversation, I'll ask them, what is the biggest problem you're trying to solve right now? And I'm doing it with the intent that maybe I know someone that has the ability to help them. Maybe it's a free resource, maybe it's a recommendation or referral, but I love to find a ways to help people. And when you do that, and when you can follow up with people and provide some type of a service like that, that speaks volumes. So that's what I would say about the follow-ups is that let yourself take a step further with that, right? I also feel, Michael, that I have to be mindful that, how can I put this? I think that a lot of people in the entrepreneurial space can get caught up in the scarcity mindset that they need to find their more clients and they need to make sure that they're talking to everybody. And I want you guys to recognize that sometimes when we try to do all of that, we do none of it well. And so I want you to value yourself enough to say, who is worth my time and energy also? Because we don't have the luxury of having an infinite number of hours in our day, right? And so what I've done is I've come up with a list of 100 people. Now, this list of 100 people are the people that I think would be the most amazing clients and the most amazing connectors. And what I do is I have a goal that I can meet with these people or touch base with these people once every 2 months. So you think about that and you're like, okay, so I have 100 people on my list, and those people are going to be there until they fall off for some reason. Maybe I decide that there's somebody that's a better fit, or maybe we just didn't click as much as I thought we were going to as we got to know each other, right? So if that's the case, and somebody else is brought into that list of 100. But what I do is I'm really fostering that list so that I don't feel like I have to keep up with thousands of people. Because I have thousands of people that I'm connected with on social media. If I think about it that way, it's overwhelming. So, how can I use my superpower of really good, intimate one-on-one connection and do the best that I can with the right people that I've chosen that's supposed to be on this list? Okay. So then you think about it. Okay, how many days a week do I want to commit to building relationships? So maybe that's five days a week. Okay. So if I have 100 people, I'm on a podcast live right now, so I don't want to do the math, but if you think about this, so if you have 100 people and you want to speak to those people about every 2 months and you want to do it 5 days a week, you figure out how many people per day should you contact. And you go down that list. And maybe it's something like, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to you for a couple months. Just wanted to check in. How are things? Last time we chatted about this, how far along has that come or tell me about your progress on that. Or hey, I was just thinking about you and I met this other person and I think you guys should totally meet. Or hey, we haven't met for coffee for a while. I would love to catch up in person. And so when you make an intentional process to be able to build relationships, oftentimes, again, people are so caught up in the numbers. And I've been in a situation where I felt like a number, and that feels crappy. But when I can build really solid relationships with people that are going to continue to send me people, or going to continue to connect me with people, or who are going to just be amazing people for me to serve, and I get to do it really well, that feels good. Does that make
You're
sense?
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. One thing you have to remember when you try to, when you go to network, is that you are a problem solver. You
Yes.
are looking out for whomever you're speaking to.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've always used when I'm at a networking table and I'm finding out the people and everything else, I say, you know what? You've done such a good job. I like the way you do business. How can I make you more successful? How can I be that great referral source for you? Even before they know what I do, you're always looking to give, always looking to solve that problem. And that's a great way to be, to think, and you're so much happier because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that you just said made me think of this, and I'm just going to point this out because I think it's powerful. So yesterday I led this networking group that I have in my local community, and we had a little extra time. So I impromptu just said, "Hey, I want you to tell us when you're introducing yourself. I want you to tell us why you got into this industry. Just tell us why, well, how, why did you become a realtor after you've been a teacher for 23 years? Why are you doing financial advising?" It was unbelievably powerful. I had the financial advisor stand up and she's, "You know what? I was a single woman and I left my financial advisor's office more confused than I was when I got there. And I have made it a commitment of mine to educate women specifically so they feel empowered to make financial decisions. That's why I do what I do." Guess what? Every single person in that room thought about the woman who's recently divorced, who needs help with their finances, who knows that they're going to be taken care of by this particular woman. So when you're going into these things, ask people, tell me, why are you doing this? How did you get started in this? And allow for their story. It's not just, "Hi, I'm Bob and I sell insurance. I'm Bob. And you know why I got into insurance? Because my son got sick. And I realized that nobody would insure us. And I decided that I wanted to be of service to other families who are in this situation." Guess what? Every single family that you think of that might have a sick kid, you're going to be like, "Hey, you need to talk to my friend Bob here." And you become less of a number and you become more of a person who has the interest of others at heart because they've gotten to know you as a person. And I promise you guys, you're going to start to see massive changes in your business, in the relationship that you have, the referral base that you have because you're real. And I mentioned posture before. It's not about becoming fake. It's about being the best version of you that you can be. There's a difference. There's a difference. And does that make sense, Michael, or do you need me to go into that?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And listen, I profess and I go on stages and I talk and I speak about in different workshops and keynotes and things like that. I do everything that you're saying. You explained it to the nth degree. Okay. I don't go into it that much. I learned so much just by listening to you, and you're so well educated and so knowledgeable, and you are proof that you can have all this knowledge, but you never stop learning. You never stop learning and finding out from people, whatever little tidbit you can pick up from a person, the better. But it sounds like you're doing a fantastic job, and I can't thank you enough. If anybody would like to get hold of you, what's the best way they could get hold of you?
Yeah, so I, even though my name is complicated to say sometimes, so Lachelle Mimi, I've done it. A simple way to find me is just my name. So you guys can find me at Lachelle Mimi on all the social media channels. So LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. My website is lachellemimi.com. You can find me if you Google my name, my podcast will come up as well. I just want you guys to know that if there's any part of this communication part that you're like, "Gosh, dang it, I know this. This all is stuff I know, but I can't get myself to do it." I want you to know that I believe in you. I believe in you because I was you. And I want you to know that you are meant to do amazing things, that you are in your perfectly divinely appointed place because of the passions that you have, the skills that you have, your interest, the things that you've gone through in your life and had to overcome. Your personality traits are all uniquely blended for just a time as this. And you get to show up in this space, and people are literally praying for you specifically to help them. And I want you to get out of your own thinking way. And I want you to allow yourself to show up because at the end of this lifetime, I don't want any of us to think back and say, I wish I would have tried harder, or I wish I would have gotten out of my own head. It's time, guys. It's time for us to step up and to do all the things that we are meant to do in this planet and to help each other get there along the way. And I know that communication is the best way to build relationships and to keep relationships. And I'm so grateful, Michael, for your podcast, the message that you have, and giving people the skills in order to get there.
Thank you very much. And as I said before, you're a fantastic guest, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you, me too.
Well, hold on, folks. Don't go anywhere. Let me just read a few of our sponsors that we have. Struggling to reach success? Maybe it's time to quit. In Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, this reveals 27 steps to breaking bad habits that hold you back. This powerful book helps you rewire your mindset, take control of your actions, and turn setbacks into stepping stones. With real-life examples, motivational quotes, and actionable lessons, especially for sales professionals, you'll gain the tools to quit what's stopping you and start winning. Transform your future today. So Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, available now on Amazon. And this is a nonprofit called Revved Up Kids. This is something I believe in wholeheartedly. Revved Up Kids is on a mission to protect children and teens from sexual abuse, exploitation, and trafficking. They provide prevention training programs for children, teens, and adults. To learn more, go to revvedupkids.org. That's REVVEDUPKIDS.org. Well, that's a wrap, folks. A huge thank you to our special guest for sharing such incredible insights today. And of course, a big shout out to you, our amazing listeners, for tuning in and spending your time with us. Remember, networking isn't about being perfect. It's about being present. So take what you've learned today, get out there, and make some meaningful connections. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who could use a little networking inspiration. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or my website, michaelaforeman.com. Remember, until next time, keep practicing, keep connecting, and keep building those relationships. This is Michael A. Foreman signing off. Take care and happy networking.